Luke 18, verses 1 through 8. These are God's words. Then he spoke a parable to them, that men always ought to pray and not lose heart, saying, there was in a certain city a judge who did not fear God nor regard man. Now there was a widow in that city, and she came to him, saying, get justice for me from my adversary. And he would not for a while. But afterward he said within himself, though I do not fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. Then the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said. And shall God not avenge his own elect, who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? So far, the reading of God's inspired and inerrant word. So this passage concludes with a question that that is important as we think about always wanting to live in such a way as we will want to be found when the Master returns. When Jesus talks about his coming, that's always the emphasis. Stop trying to figure out when and start living as you will wish you had been when I returned. And he asks the question, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? And he's saying that in conclusion to, or response to, the parable that he's just taught. And he tells us right before the parable, up in verse 1, what the parable is about. That we always ought to pray and not lose heart. Now, what he's talking about is a specific prayer. It is true that we are to make every request known to God. To be anxious about nothing, everything, with prayer and thanksgiving, to make our requests known to God. By supplication with prayer and thanksgiving, to make our requests known to God. That's from Philippians chapter 4. But this particular request is for vengeance. Get justice for me, says the widow in the parable. And then when the Lord is explaining the parable, he says, and shall God not avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? Which means not that God is putting up with us for a long time, like the judge did. There's a difference between the judge, and in the parable, and God. The judge in the parable is unjust. He's wicked. And yet persistence even works with him. But God is not wicked. He doesn't find our prayers wearying. He bears with us. And he's bearing up under the same thing with us, and he bears us in it. Reminds us of Romans 8, where the apostle tells us that we suffer together with Christ and we will be glorified together with Christ. And when that happens, we will inherit together with Christ. So God is bearing long with our suffering. And we know that that's the way to take the verse 7, because he says, and shall not God avenge his own elect? We are his own, and we came to be his own, not by our choosing him, but by his choosing us. And so he who chose you from before the world began, of course he cares about your trials. And he wants you to keep praying to him and not lose heart, because as soon as the moment is right, he won't delay a nanosecond. He will immediately return. He will immediately avenge. He says, I tell you, verse 8, he will avenge them speedily. So what is this faith that the Lord Jesus hopes to find on the earth? Faith that takes what God says in His Word, that we are His own, that we came to be His own by His choosing us, that He is going to avenge every wrong done to us, that He is going to do this as soon as possibly good for our good and for His glory, and that we turn those things over to Him in prayer. So, Christians are people who are going to be praying for God's vengeance. Christians are going to be people who are praying for Jesus' return. One of the last things in the whole Bible is the Spirit and the bride is the church, right? The Spirit and the bride say, come. And so Christians are people who pray for God's vengeance and for Christ's return and who never give up in those prayers. What does that also mean? It means Christians are going to be people who are persecuted and afflicted. It doesn't make sense to pray continually for His vengeance, does it? If there's nothing to avenge. Just like the Apostle Paul at the end of his first missionary journey went back around to the churches and encouraged them by telling them through how many tribulations we must enter the kingdom of God. So if God's definition, if the Bible's definition of encouraging and our definition of encouraging don't line up, which one of those needs to change? Our definition, right? And yet it is very encouraging, isn't it? That we know that the Lord bears with us in our afflictions and that He wants us to constantly pray that He would avenge, that He would return, that He would set all things right. This is a great part of what it means to be a Christian. Let's pray. Father, help us to be confident that the troubles You bring us through are necessary, and that as soon as they stop being necessary, that You will end them. Help us to be those believing ones that the Lord Jesus would find if He returned, praying that You would avenge, always praying and never giving up, that we would not lose heart in our praying. We ask that You would help us to have minds and hearts that view as encouragement what You say is encouragement. Thank You for telling us ahead of time that in this world we will have trouble and that through many troubles we must enter Him. And we pray, Lord, that You would make us to view You not as an unjust judge, but as that loving God who is our very own and who have taken us to Yourself to be Your own because You chose and You loved. So help us to have that view of You and by that view to have this liberty in prayer to continually lay hold of You, because nothing in time could ever undo what You decided from outside of time. We pray that Your Spirit would take these truths and press them into our hearts, that we would live with confidence and joy even in the midst of trouble. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.